believe assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Thank you very much. Yes, good morning. Good morning! I gotta tell you, I have some great, great news to start the day with. An intruder was shot dead by a resident in the northwest area of Las Vegas last Thursday night. The police in Las Vegas Metro, said four men broke into a house near Cheyenne Avenue and Buffalo Drive. That's way up in the northwest area. At about 9:30 p.m., one of the four intruders was shot and killed by the homeowner, and the other three fled the scene. Nobody else was injured, according to police, who gave no further motive for the break-in, as if they would really know. And that's just good news. Somebody's at home, it's 9:30 at night, everybody's still awake by 9:30, and four bad guys break into the house. Now, late-night home invasions used to be a thing of the past. It really did. Then it got to the point where you just turned into a daytime burglar. And you would case places, and you would go in when kids are at school and parents are at work. That's when you would go in. And you would usually go into a house where the neighbors were also all gone. So there wasn't some old biddy across the street watching or anything like that. Now it's getting much more ballsy going in at night, I would suspect, because the people doing these sorts of things have regular day jobs as well, and they've got a moonlight as burglars, so now they have to do the home invasion thing. And that, or with four people, there was some ulterior motive. There was some retribution coming or something, whatever it was. But you have to realize breaking into someone's home is something that can cost you your life. And that's exactly what happened. We have these four turds that decide that they are going to bust into somebody's home for whatever reason it is. It is a felonious act. And from there, one of them soaks up enough rounds that they end up being DRT, or dead right there. And that is good news. That sends a message to the other three scumbags. Something tells me that they probably won't be doing too many more home invasions for the rest of their life. At least you wouldn't think so. The only other way for that to happen is if they bust in some SWAT sort of fashion, like what happened to the couple in Florida a few months ago, and then they get taken out. That's kind of tough to deal with. You almost have to be awake and ready for something like that. But if that sort of thing happens, trust me, there's going to be some sort of, what's a term that I can use for ambush, where I don't actually use the word ambush? Take the definition of ambush, and if you were able to then piece together an MO, a modus operandi, a method of operation that these guys do, and then set up an ambush for them, then you could take them out. Hopefully we won't have to deal with that, because most of these people are awfully stupid. If they had that kind of a head on their shoulders, they probably wouldn't be doing home invasions. So we have one less home invader in Las Vegas, and three more that are undoubtedly reformed, at least to some bit. So all good news. Good news. I really enjoy that sort of thing, especially coming out of my town in Vegas. I did move there in 80. I've been in and around the Las Vegas area for nearly 30 years now. So it's good to know that things are getting a handle on the home invaders, because they've had their resurgence. Now it seems as though if more of them get shot, they're going to go back into the shadows. Stay tuned, guys. There's more to come, some information on some things I'm working on after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
Rule 1. Assume it's loaded. Rule 2, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule 3, listen to the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
Okay, so I am excited actually to get the hell out of here today when the radio show is done. The reason is I have developed my own widget, and I am going to go build what should be the final version and actual prototype as soon as we're done on the radio today. I have had it in my head for a target stand that's portable, and there's many portable target stands on the market. However, none of them really fit the bill, the all-encompassing bill. There's two main sizes of targets that are used out there, two very popular sizes of targets. There's only one stand that I know of, maybe two, that you could actually use either one. Also, when it comes to being able to lock stands together, use them for tactical situations so that you can actually change angles of targets and make it to where these things actually hug walls, all kinds of different things. Well, I conceptualized the be-all, end-all target stand of sorts that would work for this. And about 2 weeks ago, about 10 days ago, before I left for Disneyland, the weekend before that, I went and built one of these. And a buddy of mine's shop, he's got this big, really, just, it's a bitchin' steel building behind his house that he's got. He's got all the woodworking tools, all the steel tools. He makes his own biodiesel in there. He's just a very inventive and very creative kind of a guy. Pardon me. And the cool thing is he's not like some college-educated engineer of any kind. He's just a very bright guy. You've all met this type of person. The type of person that's just pretty much a regular dude, but yet things become clear when it comes to putting stuff together and just kind of creating and doing things. Plus, he's not an idle type of person. He doesn't just sit there and watch a whole bunch of TV. He actually gets up and does things and creates all kinds of stuff. So anyhow, over at his shop and built the initial idea of this particular target stand. And it is, as soon as it was done, you could see, okay, now we're thinking this could be better, this could be changed, this could be better, blah, da, 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 da. And then, looking at it as an idea of, okay, what about more of mass production of this sort of thing? What would be easier, more cost effective? And then we could actually sell it with the pieces and then some assembly required, keep the cost down. So went through that. And then this guy, his name is Scott. Scott went and built one of his own on Sunday based on the same design and dimensions. And I was over there just as he was finishing it up and saw some really good ideas that he had. So now we're combining those ideas with a number of epiphanies, several changes that I've had in the last day or two. So as soon as I'm done with the radio show, I'm going to be headed over to Scott's place, over to his shop. He has a regular day job. He works in the engineering department at one of the major properties in Vegas. So he's going to head to work. I think he starts at 10, about an hour drive or so, plus traffic. So I'll get over there as soon as the radio show is done, and within about 10 or 15 minutes, he's going to roll out and go to Vegas. I'll be in his shop for the next few hours building one or more. I have enough stuff for probably three of these things to get all built up. Got to check some of the measurements, and this thing's going to be really cool. My desire is, once this thing is done, hopefully get this whole process done, start applying for a patent, get a patent pending, and then see if I can find a company that will build the pieces and another that will ship the pieces. I should say build it, then I need a powder coater, then I need a shipper. And see if I can get all of this ready to have a booth and present these things at the SHOT Show 2010, which is this coming February. So it's a pretty tight timeline, but I hope to get this done. This is a really excellent, sturdy stand that also it reduces in size to the point where it's very manageable, and it's It's got a lot of neat little options that you can do with it, depending on what your purpose is. And it will fill many bills with one simple design. And in fact, when it's all said and done, there's only three different pieces to it. There's one main piece, there's two other pieces, and then there's the four legs that are, that make up the other pieces. So, but there's only three different pieces to be manufactured. So that'll help keep costs down and keep the things universally available. If, say, somebody shoots a piece and throws a round through one part of it, you could order a replacement part to that one piece. So I've got my work ahead of me, not just going in and getting some welding, grinding, and painting done, but I've got to get a patent applied for. And I talked to a buddy of mine just last night. I've got a few friends that I've had for some time, all of whom I met this particular group in sixth grade. Keep in mind, that's when you're about 12, and I just turned 40, so the group of us are now 40. I've known these guys nearly 30 years, and one of them developed his own widget a few years ago, about 3 years ago, I guess, and he was a bellman. And he was a bellman at the Mandalay Bay, and he'd been there for some time. I think he'd been at Mandalay since around the time they opened, if not when they opened. And, you know, bellmen are always trying to keep this heavy, self-closing door open. So he designed a doorstop that works great for bellmen. And then he started a company called Vegas Doorstops, and he's got a site, VegasDoorstops.com. It worked great if you're moving. He's got this item, and it sits right over the hinge, the middle hinge. It works off of pressure on the hinge, not the door, the door jamb. And he designed the thing. He's applied for the patent for the thing, owns the molds and the design, and has a company that manufactures it and another that ships it out for him. And he sells these things all over the world. He's done very, very well for himself when it comes to this. So I was talking with him a little bit about the process, and he's going to get me in touch with his patent attorney on this whole target stand. So anyhow, just some of the cool, exciting things I'm looking forward to that I'm doing. And in addition to that, I want to make a little bit of an announcement out there. I'm looking to sponsor and hold my own firearms class coming up in March. This coming March 2010. And the thing is, I will be teaching the class myself. Dave Champion sponsors courses that are run and taught by the folks out at Front Sight. It is a Front Sight course. He just sponsors it and brings people in. The difference between that and mine is I will actually be running my own course. If you have any interest in doing a defensive firearms course with yours truly, I will be holding this at a facility that I will, there's three or four, possibly five different facilities that I will have the option to teach this thing at. And I will be running the course myself. I gave this idea to Dave Champion, told him what my intent was, and he said, let your listeners know that I will happily come out there and help you teach some portions of this course as well. So you could actually have the two of us out there teaching our own damn course. Certainly, if we have enough people sign up for this course, I will bring other industry professionals in there to help out. It's not just going to be the Bill Carnes Show. But I have many years and literally hundreds of classes that I have taught when it comes to the use of defensive firearms. So I'll be putting together a firearms course in March. And my anticipation for this course is to do a four-day course. I will probably do a couple days worth of handgun, possibly a couple days worth of rifle. Based on some of the input that I get from you, the listeners. Now, I need to have the decision on what I'm going to be doing within the next month. So if you have any thoughts on what it is you think you would benefit most from, the reason I think handgun and rifle is this. If you're going to be out and about, most of the time, if you're going to get attacked anywhere, it's going to be when you're out of your home, out of your office, out of your car, when you're out and about. And if you're carrying, you're going to be carrying a handgun, so you need to have some handgun skills. When it comes to rifle, if you can run a rifle, you can also run a shotgun. So we can get you up to speed on your skill set with rifles, so you can almost be a dual setup with being able to shoot long guns. Of course, there are some very specifics when it comes to running a shotgun that's different than a rifle, but you'll have some long gun skills with you, which will help you if you have anything that you need to do defensively or hunting with the long guns. So that is what I am thinking at this point. Send your comments to me at bill@2aradio.com. Of course, we'll be using my design stands during this course. So I hope to do that in March. Again, I'll probably give about 3 weeks for comments before I finally decide on what it is we're going to do. I'll get the dates and a price point together on that. If you happen to see anything that's better on dates or not, let me know. One of the things I intend to do is look up any special events that are happening in Las Vegas, any major conventions that are happening in Las Vegas, and make sure that we schedule this on a week or a weekend where that is not happening, where we do not have that sort of thing going on. I'm also going to probably look at holding this during the week, so that you can actually, there's tremendous savings in Vegas during the week. The trade-off is taking off work if you have a week's vacation. You can actually come out to Vegas, and I will probably do my best to find some group rates going on at a property or two. So, anyhow, send comments regarding that class to me, bill@2aradio.com. And stay tuned, guys. I'll be back right after this break.
Have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, live, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
So Arnold Schwarzenegger does it again. He takes the path of Bloomberg and signed Assembly Bill 962 into law. Now, that happened last week. If you're not familiar with the measure, it requires handgun ammunition be kept behind the counter where customers cannot access it without assistance. Yeah, that's not really that big of a deal. I mean, Walmart and several other companies already do that. But the irate response is to the requirement that retailers would now have to thumbprint people who buy handgun ammunition, record their identification, and then report that information to police, to law enforcement. As you can imagine, it's not only an additional layer of paperwork for retailers. It's another layer of information collection that indicates another incremental step towards firearms registration, which California pretty much, you have to register most stuff anyhow. After all, purchase of ammunition would indicate ownership of a firearm capable of firing that particular round. Likewise, being able to cross-reference quantities purchased might also be another variable in tracking enthusiastic gun owners. Here's Schwarzenegger's explanation of the decision.
I am signing Assembly Bill 962. This measure would require vendors of handgun ammunition to keep a log of information on handgun ammunition sales, store ammunition in a safe and secure manner, and require the face-to-face transfer of ammunition sales. Although I have previously vetoed legislation similar to this measure, local governments have demonstrated that requiring ammunition vendors to keep records on ammunition sales improves public safety. These records have allowed law enforcement to arrest and prosecute persons who have no business possessing firearms and ammunition, gang members, violent parolees, second and third strikers, and even people previously serving time in state prison for murder. Utilized properly, this type of information is invaluable for keeping communities safe and preventing dangerous felons from committing crimes and with firearms. Moreover, this type of record keeping is no more intrusive for law-abiding citizens than similar laws governing pawn shops and sale of cold medicine.
Now, that was a recording. It goes on. Let's see. He continues. Unfortunately, even the most successful local program is flawed. Without a statewide law, felons can easily skirt the record-keeping requirement of one city by visiting another. Assembly Bill 962 will fix that problem by mandating that all ammunition vendors in the state keep records on ammunition sales. Why don't you use that same mentality when it comes to your concealed weapons laws? Huh? Because even the most successful local and county programs are flawed. Only a statewide law would actually prevent those flaws from being entered into the system. As governor, I have sought the appropriate balance between public safety and the right to keep and bear arms. There is no balance. I have signed important public safety measures to regulate the sale and transfer of 50 caliber rifles, instituted the California Firearms License Check Program, and promoted the use of micro-stamp technology in handguns. I have also vetoed... pardon me. I've also vetoed many pieces of legislation that sought to place unreasonable restrictions and burdens on firearms dealers and ammunition vendors. What about the citizens there, you Austrian jackass? Assembly Bill 962 reasonably regulates access to ammunition and improves public safety without placing undue burdens on consumers. For these reasons, I am pleased to sign this bill. That's great. The firearms industry, most particularly the California Association of Firearms Retailers and the National Shooting Sports Foundation, wasted no time in calling the governor out on his decision to sign a regulatory bill after having vetoed a registry of all ammo buyers only 5 years ago. Here's what they say. Earlier yesterday, this being last week actually, the governor vetoed a piece of firearms, vetoed a piece of firearms legislation, Senate Bill 41, for far less burdensome to retailers than AB 962, stating it was too cumbersome and of no real value to law enforcement. Ironically, this is the same reason that the governor used to veto ammunition registration in 2004 before he flip-flopped late last night. Now, listen to these numbers in bankrupt California. They estimate that this is going to cost California nearly $3 million in lost sales tax, add $629,000 annually to an already busted state budget, and lost retail sales could reach as much as $35.7 million. So what are they going to do to cover for all of this? Raise taxes. What do you think? You think they're going to raise taxes? Because now the state government, the different agencies and such, are going to need money in order to actually enforce this bill. Where's that money going to come from? Raise taxes. So this is the second to final step in disarming the people of California. They're limiting the amount of ammunition. The next step that they're going to do is limit the number of guns, which they have in a way. And what will happen then is that it's all just going to come to an end. So you can pretty much guarantee that anybody with a handgun... This goes into effect in 2011. So that means that the ammunition shortage in the rest of the country is going to be over by then. Stay tuned. More to come.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
Okay, so here's an editorial now supporting that whole thing in California with AB whatever, that restricts handgun ammunition sales. It says, closing ammunition loophole makes states safer. So now they're referring to it as an ammunition loophole. They're taking the language of the anti-gunners that say that there is a gun show loophole, and now they're saying that there's an ammunition loophole. Okay, so here's this editorial. There have long been laws on the books that require identity checks and waiting periods to purchase of guns, but virtually no restrictions govern purchases of ammunition. It's a regulatory oversight that makes our communities less safe. So here we go. We need to regulate it. We can't just self-regulate anything. We need to have the state regulate us even further from cradle to grave. This is California. Demonstrating an admirable ability to change his mind when presented with a compelling set of new facts. Facts is the word used. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger signed a controversial bill last week that will require gun dealers starting in February 2011 to record and retain the driver's license numbers and thumbprints of people who buy handgun ammunition. Okay, if that's the case, and I haven't read the bill, if that's the case, then you have to drive in order to be able to buy ammunition as well. Is that true? Can people who don't drive buy ammunition? Do you have to provide a driver's license or is it just a state ID? I don't know. Then again, this is an editorial. It's a newspaper person. So obviously we know that they don't have all of their information together before they write anything. The governor had vetoed similar legislation in 2004, but since then, 13 California cities have approved local ordinances requiring such record keeping. As Schwarzenegger noted in his signing message, experience in those jurisdictions has shown that, quote, requiring ammunition vendors to keep records at ammunition sales improves public safety. Sacramento Police Chief Rick Brazel, one of several law enforcement leaders across the state who urged the governor to sign the ammunition bill, told lawmakers that Sacramento police were able to track 229 illegal ammunition purchases in 2008, which was the first year that the Sacramento City Council approved its ammunition ordinance. There were 173 convicted felons among those illegal purchasers. Scores of illegal guns and thousands of rounds of ammunition were taken out of the hands of criminals who are not supposed to have them. Unfortunately, anyone looking for a way to evade Sacramento's restriction could simply travel to a neighboring jurisdiction to buy ammunition. The measure Schwarzenegger signed, Assembly Bill 962 by Assemblyman Kevin DeLeon, Democrat of Los Angeles, closes that dangerous loophole. It expands as Sacramento's common sense protection statewide. It also bans the direct sale of ammunition to Californians who purchase via mail order or over the internet. Out-of-state ammunition dealers will have to ship to licensed dealers in that state who would then have to record the purchaser's identity and fingerprints. The new law not only makes it unlawful for gun dealers to knowingly sell handgun ammunition to anyone prohibited from purchasing a firearm, it also prohibits any person subject to a gang injunction from owning or possessing handgun ammunition. Politically powerful gun rights advocates strongly opposed DeLeon's bill. Schwarzenegger heeded the advice of police chiefs in Sacramento, Los Angeles, Oakland, and other cities instead, placing the interests of public safety ahead that of the gun lobby. The DeLeon bill, the governor correctly concluded, appropriately balances public safety against the right to keep and bear arms. The type of record-keeping mandated in the new law is no more intrusive than similar laws governing pawn shops. The bill reasonably regulates access to ammunition and improves public safety without placing undue burdens on law-abiding gun owners. It makes California safer. Now, can you believe this mindless, thoughtless drivel? Because in 2011, you're going to be allowed to purchase 50, one full box, of handgun ammunition per month. That's it. 50 per month. If you try to buy more than that, go to a couple different retailers, you know what you're doing? You're breaking the law. And the popo's going to come get you. That is when they're actually going to come to your house with a warrant and be allowed to kick the door and come in and get you because you're exercising a right. The only thing I can hope. Because California's done. And you know, good riddance. Good riddance to California and the gun owners there. Good riddance. Because after February 2011, the shortage of handgun ammunition is going to be over. Because there's not going to be, we're not going to have to worry about California anymore. We're just not. All of the ammunition that Californians would be buying are going to be available to the rest of us. So good riddance. Good for you, California. Good for you, the people that are in California that are putting up with this. Good for you. You know what I would do if I lived in California? Thank God I do not. What I would do is I would organize a statewide campaign that every single person that shoots between now and in for now until this thing would were ever to get overturned, collect up all of your remnants from shooting, be it the boxes that it comes in, the trays any bullets come in, or any old spent shotgun holes, anything like that. You collect all of that stuff up, and you ship it to the governor's office. Ship it in droves. Just send it via mail in big old boxes, full of your shooting box trash. Send it to the legislature as well. That's what I would do. I would organize a statewide campaign. Every time you use a box that had ammo in it or shotgun shells or something, I would pack all of that stuff up into a big box, and I would make it a mess, too. I wouldn't put the trays back in the boxes and seal it up. I wouldn't. I'd have the tray out, the box out. I'd make it as big a mess as I could and just ship it parcel post to the governor's office. I would ship some to the legislator's office, the guys that vote anti-gun all the time. I'd ship them all of this stuff and let them know, look, we are responsible gun owners. We are doing our part to keep all of the ranges in the areas safe and clean, and we just wanted to show it to you. So we leave it in your capable hands to take care of this, but so you know, it's not out there filthying up anywhere in the beautiful state of California. As a matter of fact, if I were out of state and I was doing any kind of shooting, I would collect up as much of this trash as I could from the other shooters around. I would try to get the shooters that come to Nevada that go to Front Sight, or the ones that go to Arizona and go to Gun Sight, the ones that go to Oregon and go to Thunder Ranch, to collect up everybody's trash and have all of that sent to the governor's office, have it sent to the legislators, and just have that formed note in there. That's how I would handle it. But alas, I don't live in California, so I'm not going to do it. What I am going to do is rejoice in the lower ammunition, handgun ammunition prices around the rest of the country. So here we go. You go buy, you're only allowed to buy like every 30 days, right? So let's say that you buy one on, you buy a box of ammunition, a 50 round box of ammunition, say 45, on the first of the month. And then you go buy another box on the 30th of the month. And they decide, you know what? You got to have 30 days in between. You couldn't have done it until the 31st or the 1st of next month. I'm sorry. But you did it wrong. You did it wrong. So then, what do they do? Hey, look, there's a law. Looks like this guy violated it. Huh. All right, well, first of all, we're going to chastise the retailer just because they're the middleman. And then we're going to get a warrant. We're going to go kick this guy's door. And because this person violated an ammunition/gun-related law, we're going to take him into custody, and we're going to take all the guns and all the ammunition this person has as evidence. We're going to take it all. We're going to kick their door. We're going to lock them up. We're going to take all their guns and all their ammo. And they know a lot of what you've got, especially gun-wise, because they'll have to be registered, right? And if they're not registered, oh, that's even worse. Yeah, if you kept a rifle from the late 80s that would otherwise be on the registration list, or maybe you've got a semi-auto shotgun that you put one too many accessories on, yeah, all that's going to go down. So simply buying one too many boxes of ammunition within a prescribed period of time, guess what? You're done. Now, I wonder what the feasibility would be, and again, I haven't read the entire law, of getting a forwarding address out of another state and have your credit card sent there as well. Such like there's a place, and there's not just one place, there's several actually in Pahrump where they do forwarding services. They're, you know, packing and shipping, and they do forwarding services. You can get your mail there, Or you can have your mail sent there, and then they forward it to you, whatever address you provide to them. And they do it with mail and packages and all kinds of stuff. Of course, you pay for the service. So you would pay for shipping twice. Say, you know, like if I was here in Pahrump, where I live, and I was going to be doing some sort of contracting gig in Texas for the next 3 months, I could have all my mail sent to these guys, and like once a week or every couple times a week, whatever, they would ship me whatever came in my name. That way I would keep my same address, but they would forward me all the stuff. I wonder if the law has anything about that in it. Could you actually get a place in Kansas as an address and have a credit card at that same address so they could ship it to the same billing address? Because you know that they wouldn't be allowed. You couldn't call up ammoman.com and have it shipped to Kansas and billed to California. You know, you couldn't do that. You'd have to have it all done in the same spot just so everything's cool. Because they might have some sort of reporting requirement that they may actually do rather than just flip the bird to California and say, I'm not in your state, I don't have to abide by your laws. Kiss my ass. So I wonder what the feasibility of that would be. But alas, it's just simply wonderment on my part, because again, I don't live in California. I don't have to deal with this. If I live there, I'd probably look into it, but I don't, so I don't have to. I live in Nevada. I don't have to worry about it. The only thing I cannot order in Nevada, which is weird to me, is cigars. I can't order cigars and have them shipped here. There's some state law that prevents that. And it's kind of funny because I lived in Utah for a year when I was contracting at Dugway Proving Ground. But I still had a billing address, at least for the first several months, in Nevada. And I called up to order some cigars for a buddy of mine. And I said, look, I want you to ship these here. Okay, what's your shipping address here? Okay, what's a billing? Oh, well, you know, we can't ship them there because the billing address is in Nevada. I don't care. What do you care? You're not shipping the cigars to Nevada. Well, no, but that's the way the state laws. Hey, what state are you in? They were, I don't know, like in Florida or something. Well, what the hell do you care? Nevada's not going to come to Florida and cite you guys for something. Ship them to Utah. So anyhow, I can't get cigars here. I could order them from an overseas company because they could really care less. But I don't smoke that many cigars. Justin Campbell, good friend of mine, Handgun Combat Master number 43, he smokes cigars and provides me with some decent stuff. Besides, there's actually some good shops in Vegas where I can get whatever I want. I just got to drive around looking for it. If I want a cigar, I can't just order it. Yeah. Anyhow, back to the whole thing. I digress. Back to the whole thing in California. You are going to start losing even more of your rights now. It's a downhill slide. Schwarzenegger has proven time and again he has absolutely no ties to the Republican Party. He's just sealed that. I guest hosted for Dave Champion on May the 5th, 5-4 of 09. And I had a couple of guest callers in, and we spoke about starting a new conservative party in this country, which would essentially form up a bunch of the other smaller, what would be considered third and fourth parties in this country, together into one large conservative party. And part of the deal is, if anyone got into office, part of signing up with this party is, the party could revoke your participation in this party. They could say, you know what, you don't represent us. You can't be part of our party anymore, and we could kick you out. So that would be the truth right now in California with the governor. He's not representing conservative values. He's not representing anything to do with the Republican. He's the new Republican, which is the far left-leaning Republican. He's the Republican of new. So if the Republican Party was actually still conservative, they could boot him out and say, you can't be Republican. You've got it. You've got to join another party. That's the way it would be under our party. If you have an interest, go on to the RBN archives, or even just go to, let's see, DaveChampionShow.com, either or, and look up May 4th, 2009, and listen to the ideas that we had about forming a new political party that's actually truly conservative. Let me see here. I want to warn those in California and people who live in the other states. Pennsylvania is certainly one of them. Pennsylvania is now kind of the new police state after the G20 hearing. And if you think that that police state in Pittsburgh is going to die off, it's not. It's going to stick around. They are now up to speed on how they're going to be the stormtroopers of Pennsylvania. Realize that a lot of different states, New Jersey, Illinois, Pennsylvania, New York, like to follow California's lead. So you need to be incredibly vigilant when it comes to ammunition laws like this one that Schwarzenegger just signed in. Incredibly vigilant. If you're not, and you lose your ammunition rights, because somebody's going to expand. It's not just going to be handgun ammunition next. It's going to be all ammo. Handgun, shotgun, rifle. It's going to be everything. And if you... You know, it's kind of interesting. I could easily articulate, you need more than 50 rounds a month to stay up to speed on defensive shooting with a handgun, but yet they wouldn't listen to me. If you allow these ammunition bans in your states, all I have to tell you is the rest of us in the rest of the country are not going to have to experience any more ammo shortages, and our ammo prices are probably going to drop. So you'd be doing us a favor. If you don't want to do that sort of a favor to the rest of the country, the rest of the shooters out there, you must be incredibly vigilant at keeping your state legislators from enacting and passing this sort of law. It doesn't surprise me that this happened in California. And you know something? You guys got exactly what you put into office. So there you go. If you don't like it and you live in California, you either better do something about it or leave the state because it's done. Stay tuned, guys. More information about the Second Amendment March when we return.
Right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443. Uncle Sam taught him to shoot maybe a
little too well. Finger on the trigger, loaded, falling. Okay, and I need to talk to you a little bit about the Second Amendment March. It's coming up close, less than 8 months. Their big event in D.C. There's also several all over the rest of the country for those who cannot travel to D.C. And they need volunteers. Okay, many hands make light work, and there's less than 8 months and a lot to do. So they have a lot of committees they're trying to form with the volunteers. The descriptions, I'm going to give you a few of them. You can go to SecondAmendmentMarch.com and look this up. If you have an interest in helping, you can send an email to Terry, T-E-R-R-I, dot Stokey, S-T-O-C-K-E, at SecondAmendmentMarch.com. With following information, your full name, your email address, your phone number, and committees you're volunteering for. A little bit of information on your background and experiences that would make you a good fit for the committee. Now, let's see. They are volunteer positions. There is no money involved. This is the biggest Second Amendment related event this country has ever seen, provided it goes off properly. Okay, here, just to try to get you motivated, here's a quote from Winston Churchill. If you will not fight for the right when you can easily win without bloodshed, if you will not fight when your victory will be sure and not so costly, you may come to the moment when you'll have to fight with all the odds against you, and only a only a precarious chance for survival. There may be a worse case. You may have to fight when there's no chance of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves. So with that in mind, that quote from Winston Churchill, if you're able to sign up for any of these things, there's different fundraising things that are going on. They need committees to organize people, get other vendors going on, all kinds of stuff. So if you're willing to help out, please go to SecondAmendmentMarch.com and help out. If you happen to be in the vicinity of the D.C. area, even better. I know there's a lot of listeners in the Pennsylvania area. You might be able to help out. If not, there's going to be marches in pretty much every state capital, as far as I know, and even some of the other major cities around the country. So if you're able to lend a hand, please. It's Terry, T-E-R-R-I, dot Stocke, S-T-O-C-K-E, at SecondAmendmentMarch.com. You can always go to SecondAmendmentMarch.com and look and see what's going on. This is the type of thing we all of us, should be organizing together to help out. I will be getting involved to see what it is that I can do, considering my limited location. I'm an hour outside of Las Vegas, hour-ish. I'm not sure what they're going to be doing here. I'm actually hoping to make it to D.C. for this event. Matter of fact, I'm hoping to be able to speak at this event at D.C. We'll see. There's a lot of people in line in front of me. But if you're able to do anything, please, by all means, go to SecondAmendmentMarch.com and sign up for it, okay? That would really be doing all of us a good service. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you, and Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Thank you for spending your morning with me. I'll be here tomorrow.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The Two-Way Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.